We're going to bring on our good friend, lawyer extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. Break it all down for us, Jeff. Answer all those questions I just asked.
We're going to turn our mics off. Just kidding.
I'll do my best.
let's start off with Georgia. We know there was a Supreme Court ruling pushing back against the GOP efforts over the weekend, and then there was quite a bit of talk about that then paving the way for this to get kicked up to the Supreme Court. Now, Trump did express some doubt whether or not the Supreme Court will hear the election cases. But let's back up to what the GOP was arguing and is arguing in Georgia and get your thoughts on that, and then we'll move forward in the timeline.
Yeah, so I lose track of which one is which. So the Georgia one, they're talking about irregularities in the voting, and they're showing these statistical anomalies,
right,
about some of the voting.
And if I was saying Georgia, I was meaning to say Pennsylvania. If I was saying Georgia, my bad. Okay. I was meaning to talk about Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania it seems to be ground zero right now, and I think that if the Trump campaign or some of these other lawsuits don't succeed, I think I don't see a whole lot of merit the court taking on. Supreme Court taking on any other cases, because they've got a Pennsylvania case right now that was the one that was filed before the election. Pennsylvania's got some interesting ones. The Trump campaign is arguing an equal protection claim. We've talked about this one before, about saying that there were ballots in some counties that were where the voters were given the chance to cure the ballots, and those are predominantly Democrat counties, and the voters in the Republican counties weren't given that same opportunity, so therefore they have an equal protection argument, and that's the argument that was used during the Bush v. Gore case. Okay, that one it was an Obama district court judge that kicked it out and wouldn't let him amend the complaint. At the court of appeals level, they actually got it was a Republican judge, I think it might have been a Trump appointee, that upheld the district court, and now that will go to the, this is in the state court. So it's a Republican elected court of appeals judge that affirmed it, wrote the affirming opinion, and then I'll go to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and from there it would go to the U.S. Supreme Court. But the lawsuits brought by the Trump campaign itself don't seem to be getting the traction that some of the other, I would call it, surrogate lawsuits have. I love Rudy Giuliani, but I don't know why he hasn't been in court for 30 years, why he's actually litigating these, and why they don't have that team of lawyers that ran his impeachment for him, Jay Sekulow and some of those guys, actually making these arguments. And maybe they will. Maybe the whole point is just to get this up to the Supremes and then bring in the varsity team to finish the case. I don't know.
That's what it appears to me.
Yeah, but those lawsuits haven't been going as well. The one that to me is the most intriguing is the other Pennsylvania lawsuit about the challenging the constitutionality of this Act 77 that was passed
right
this past spring, relaxing the absentee ballot requirements, making it easier for someone to vote by absentee ballot. And in Pennsylvania, their absentee ballot procedures are in their state constitution. And Pennsylvania has a process for amending their state constitution. And I'm going to get this wrong, but it's something like it has to be voted by the legislature twice, and in between the voters have to somehow confirm it by a vote. And that has, of course, all they did was they amended the Constitution via the Act. And then they put this weird provision in that said challenges to this Act had to be brought within 180 days of passage. And I read somewhere someone said a law doesn't become constitutional on the 181st day. If it's unconstitutional, it's unconstitutional in the way they did it. So that one's interesting, but the other wrinkle in that is you have the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, already saying that, under the Elections Clause in the Constitution, that it's the state legislature's role to set the rules for their elections in their state. And so the question is, the state legislature did amend this, did pass this law. does it matter that it didn't, that it violated the state constitution requirements for how to amend the constitution, or is the Supreme Court going to rely on the elections clause and say it doesn't matter, they set the rules, you know, game over? So that one to me is the most intriguing one out of the Pennsylvania cases so far.
Well, and I had read that with that, in line with what you were saying, that the majority of the opinions, and again, these are individuals that want to see this, you know, what took place exposed, right, believing that Trump won. So I just got to sort of grant it with that. But they were saying that if this ends up in the Supreme Court, they didn't expect that the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, was going to take too kindly with the ruling from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, in that, well, if you were concerned about this, you should have done it prior to the election, but you waited till after the election. And I read a couple of different opinions basically saying, yeah, I don't see the Supreme Court is going to go down the same road as the almost like the Pennsylvania court was trying to, like, we don't want to, my name's Paul, this is between y'all, we don't want to deal with it, you should have filed it beforehand, too bad, so sad. And that they were under the impression that if it makes it to the Supreme Court, that they would rule on that differently.
I think there's no question that the previous, what I call the Roberts Court, would have had that logic of, we're not going to touch it. But you have what I now call the Thomas Court, which is, and I'm trying to figure out if we should call the five conservative justices the Fab Five or the Justice League. I go back and forth on that as their sub caucus. But, it's kind of anyone's ball game after Wednesday night's opinion, where they basically, you know, threw everyone under the bus and burned it down. Previous rulings on the COVID stuff and the Justice Gorsuch's comment about the Constitution doesn't go away during a pandemic. So, you know, it's a different court than it hurt than it was a few weeks ago. And so we'll have to see if they're willing to take it up. The hard part with any time you're dealing with a court challenge to, an election result, you're asking a court to actually throw out ballots. If the challenge is about these absentee ballots, and you're saying, you know, someone relied on the law that they, at the time, they believed was valid when they cast their vote, ask, you know, having a court throw it out, it's a hard ask. And so we'll see where they go, but, you know, it's an uphill climb.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that you're gonna have to, the default is going to be that every ballot that was counted is legitimate, and that it is incumbent upon the party making the claim to demonstrate to the court, you know, where they aren't, where what about these individual ballots make them illegitimate and have to be cast out, and that should be a tough hill to climb, honestly. You know, but yeah, that's going to be a big ask for the Trump legal team.
Yeah, I think the more likely result here versus the presidential election results being overturned, first of all, it gets the president what he wants, which is to cast doubt on Biden's election and sets himself up for this shadow government and running in 4 years again, I've heard some of the rumors. But also, I hope that what happens out of what really comes out of this is, you know, just like when Florida was a mess 20 years ago, Florida reformed their election laws.
Yep.
I hope that whether it be a Republican led effort or however it is, I hope that we start looking at state election laws. And I know everybody wants everybody and their mother to vote, but we got to do it in a way that doesn't open ourselves up to these kinds of challenges, these kinds of issues in the future. There's got to be
Here's the big difference between what we're dealing with now and what we were dealing with in Florida. Was Florida wasn't on purpose. You know, Florida, the mess that Florida found itself in the 2000 Bush-Gore race wasn't done on purpose. All of these messes that we find ourselves in right now, these were done on purpose.
Yeah.
This election was set up to be as chaotic as possible, going into it. And in my opinion, it was done with the idea of, hey, if we encourage, you know, millions of people to mail in their ballots, what's going to stop us from throwing in a couple hundred thousand for Biden here? Nobody's going to notice.
You know, it's a good point. You could be right. I don't know.
And how do you prove they're illegal? How do you prove the ballots are illegal? That's
no
the big
ballot is illegal.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. One of the Georgia issues with the absentee ballots, and you know, you try to keep an anonymous vote, a secret ballot, so you separate the ballot from the envelope. Well, you can't match signatures anymore. I mean, it just gets it's extremely difficult to try to deal with these things
on purpose.
After the fact, that's why some people have said they wish the Supreme Court would have said something about this before the election. About the legitimacy of this stuff, rather than kicking the can down the road, which is what they did, prior to the Fab Five, where the, you know, and trying to like say, well, maybe we won't need it. Well, of course you were going to need it, in this election. And so a lot of the fault lays at the doorstep of the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, the old U.S. Supreme Court, for not saying something about this before November 3rd.
Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire, thanks so much for the time this morning, man. We appreciate it. I'll talk to you again real soon, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. All right.